Now, let's read today's Bible passage. Today's Bible passage is John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. John chapter 21, 14 through 17. John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus, who had risen from the dead, appeared to the disciples, and they ate together. After the meal, Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" What do you think about these questions Jesus asked Peter? Some people may interpret it as a rebuke to Peter for denying Jesus three times before his crucifixion. Or some people say it is a warning to Peter. When I first started reading the Bible, I sometimes felt the way about that, about this passage, the same way about this passage. But I don't think Jesus is like a person who speaks in a sarcastic tone of voice, such as, "You denied me three times, yet you can still say that you love me? Do you really love me?" Jesus' words to Peter should make us think about one important thing. That is, the statement, "Do you love me?" or the question, "Do you love me?" is actually a statement by Jesus saying, "I love you." When I was a university student, a woman asked me, "You like me, don't you?" She asked me this question with a slightly embarrassed, flirtatious smile. I now see this, I saw this interaction as a special and a precious experience. And actually, this helped me to understand what Jesus said to Peter. At the time of this interaction with this woman, I immediately sensed that, oh, she likes me. And that feeling was not mistaken, because I have been married to this woman for 23 years now. Let's say that there are a man and woman It can be either from the woman or from the man, but when one asks, "Do you love me?" the other person who is asked that question will immediately sense that, oh, she loves me, right? Asking that question is actually a confession of love. I don't think we normally ask this question, "Do you love me?" to someone we don't like or love. It's the same with the children, grandchildren, husband, and wife. People say, "Do you love me?" They ask this question to those whom they love. They don't ask, "Do you love me?" or "Do you like me?" to those whom they don't love. So the fact that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" means that Jesus could not renounce his love for Peter, even though Peter denied Jesus 3 times. So Jesus still loved Peter. "Do you love me?" which means, "I love you." "Do you love me?" which means, "I love you." This confession of love on the part of Jesus is at the heart of today's passage. And this question to Peter and the confession of love by Jesus are also meant for us as well. Jesus asks us exactly the same question and confesses exactly the same love to us. Why does Jesus ask us the same question? Because he wants to receive our love. Because he wants to receive our love. Then why does he want to receive our love? Because he loves us. If Jesus himself did not love us, he would not want us to love him back. If Jesus himself did not love us, he would not want us to love him. Jesus asks us, "Do you love me?" because he loves us. Because he loves us, he wants to be loved and confesses his love through this question. Perhaps some of you may be thinking, if it is a confession of love from God, why does he not just make a simple declaration? "I love all people." However, love is a two-way process, even though sometimes it seems to be a one-way process. Jesus does not force us to accept a dogmatic declaration, a one-way, unrequited love that looks like love but is not. Instead, he uses the form of a question because he respects us and expects us to make a choice whether or not to love God. In other words, a confession of love is always accompanied by a question. Since Jesus is God of love, he knows that the essence of love is in the questioning of the other person. Therefore, God asks the question, "Do you love me?" Because he loves us and he waits with the utmost respect for our response. If we read through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we will find that God speaks of his love to people, and that he waits patiently for people to respond to his love. The Bible also describes people's unwillingness to respond to God's love. Living in God's love is what it means to be human. But when we read the Bible, we can find that it also portrays people wandering around as if there is something more exciting and interesting than the love of God. But God remains the same, and until the very end, he asks the question of love. So Jesus asks us the same question as he asked Peter. Do you love me? I love you. Do you love me? I love you. Do you love me? I really love you. Again, we need to understand that Jesus is making a confession of love for us. I wish that we all can believe in this confession of love. We Christians believe in God, right? And when Christians believe in God, we have to believe in all of God's word. But two main things are the most important for us to believe. The first is that the Lord God is the Almighty God who created heaven and earth. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Which is a very important confession and the first part of our confession of faith. Because the God we believe in is the God who is the maker of heaven and earth and of all things. Our Father God is the Almighty One who made this world. So this is the most important confession. And the second, equally important confession is this. God loves me. He loves me so much that he even crucified his only son, Jesus. This is also a very important confession of faith. At the same time, the belief that God loves me is a powerful life force, isn't it? Nothing is more powerful for a person than the conviction that he or she is loved. In an international documentary program I watched, a pastor and his wife were going through fertility treatment. But after repeated miscarriages and no children being given to them, they prayerfully adopted and raised several children. And the children that the couple took as their own were children that others were unwilling to adopt. One of the children was born with a leg disability. But the couple massaged his leg with their hands every day. The child eventually became an ice hockey player. Another child had borderline intelligence. This means that the child had an IQ of 75 and was not mentally retarded, strictly speaking, but was of borderline intelligence, meaning that the below that IQ level, it was difficult to lead a social life independently. And above that IQ level, he could lead a social life on his own. So he was at the borderline. The child had been adopted twice, and both times a family relationship did not go well. So he was hurt and had no trust in adults and emotionally disturbed and did not do well in school because of his borderline intelligence. However, according to the documentary, in the presence of the love of the pastor and his wife, the stubbornness of this child began to melt. After experiencing love given by this couple, the child mysteriously began to do well in his studies, sometimes achieving the highest grades in his grade. Love somehow raised the child's intelligence. As you may be aware, if a child is mistreated or unloved, not only his or her intelligence, but also his or her health and physical abilities may deteriorate, and his or her heart may become tense, stiff, and timid. So that's what that documentary described. There is a project called SIB, a Social Impact Bond, which was originally established in the United Kingdom, and in which government agencies and the private sector work together to solve social problems. The main feature of this project is that when a private organization proposes a specific program to solve a social problem and works on it, and if it produces good results, the government pays all the costs and even offers rewards commensurate with those results. But if it does not produce any positive results, the government does not pay a penny to that project. A pastor of a church who was inspired by the documentary I mentioned a few minutes ago decided to use SIB to start a support program for children with borderline intelligence by caring for them for 3 years and help them to become socially independent. The project involved government subsidies, so it was not possible to recruit only Christians. So naturally, they recruited volunteers without any religious distinction. Strangely enough, all the applicants who wanted to be involved in the work were Christians. So there was a commonality among the volunteers. It was about loving the children. They prayed and tried to serve and love them with the heart of Christ. And one of the most important things that they did was to give each child a hug. This is because the pastor himself, who conceived of this ministry, had an experience when he was in the first grade of in primary school, where his sense of inferiority was healed by a church school teacher who welcomed him with a warm hug every week. So, for 3 years, this support program was carried out, and it went very well. In the end, the government paid the equivalent of 100 million Japanese yen, which was the cost of the program over the 3 years, and they even received a reward of an equivalent of 3 million Japanese yen. The children who were loved, the children who were hugged, they actually changed. Their physical bodies, their spirits, their intelligence, and their hearts changed for the better. The love of a human being with all its flaws can make a person healthy when there is so much love. So, how much more can be accomplished if we realize the love of God and believe in the love of Jesus? Jesus, who died on the cross, paid for our sins and rose from the dead. He asks us, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" If we believe that Jesus loves us, it will be our strength. We all need to live a life blessed by God, just like Peter was. You know, by saying, "I love you," just like Peter did in response. Peter was very frank, very direct, right? And Peter said, "I love you," to Jesus. Of course, we cannot love Jesus like Jesus loves us. But we still need to say, "I love you," to Jesus, just like Peter did. To love means, you know, I want to be with you all the time. And that I want to offer to God what I value most without hesitation. And Jesus did that for us. How about us? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you told us that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to us to pay the price of our sins. And he was crucified. And to that extent, you loved us. And you made the love perfect by rising, having Jesus rising from the dead. And we now realize you ask us this question, do you love me? And I want to say, I love you in response, Lord. And I want to be with you, Lord, all the time. Just like Peter confessed, I love you. Let us make the same confession to you. Thank you for loving us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.